Welcome to the LifeCast. We hope that you find this ministry of New Life Assembly of God as an encouragement to you. You will hear messages and lessons in God's Word by our staff and special guests. Enjoy the podcast.
23 years ago today, Sue and I got married to each other. And you know, when it's your first anniversary, or, you know, you look back at the first year. I don't even know if I did that on my first anniversary. It was like, wow, 1 year already. And years go by. But as you get older and, I don't know, supposedly wiser, and you mellow a little, and I don't know, you put on some weight, certainly. When I got married, I was like 170 pounds. Yeah, you know what I'm talking about, John. Yeah. I stepped on a scale a week ago. No, a little over a week ago. It was before I left. Because I noticed that you put one in the downstairs bathroom. I assumed it wasn't there for decoration. So I stepped on it and guessed, yeah, it creaked, you know. And, you know, you remember being 170 pounds 23 years ago, and then you look at the scale and it says 232. Oh, he is fat. Yeah. Muscles heavy. For those of you who say 232, he don't look 232. Thank you. I want to thank the seven of you who are sitting in the back and really can't see well. But, actually, the numbers don't bother me. And I mean that. Oh, yeah, that's what fat people say. You know, the numbers don't bother. It's kind of how you carry it and how you feel, right? Not looking at you specifically, Pat. I was looking for some affirmation here to say, yeah, that's right. But, you know, we're married 23 years, and as you get older, wiser, mellow, whatever, lack of testosterone and more estrogen or whatever, I don't know what all that means. I just know that it causes you to remember things. It's an opportunity to not look backwards as if it's your focus, but to recall things. And I want to read to you Psalm 145. Psalm 145. If you want to turn there, you can. If you didn't bring your Bible with you, I want you to know that in the pew rack in front of you, there's a Bible there. It's a black cover, hardcover Bible. And I want you to know that if you do not own a Bible, you're here and you don't own a Bible, you don't have one, take it. That's right. You take it with you, okay? That's God's gift to you. His Word is a gift to all of us. And so, you know what? If you don't have one, you take it with you, would you? That's yours today. You take it with you when you go. Psalm 145. I will exalt you, my God, the King. I will praise your name forever and ever. This is a psalm of David, by the way. King David wrote this. Every day I will praise you and extol your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. His greatness no one can fathom. One generation will commend your works to another. They will tell of your mighty acts. They will speak of the glorious splendor of your majesty, and I will meditate on your wonderful works. They will tell of the power of your awesome works, and I will proclaim your great deeds. They will celebrate your abundant goodness and joyfully sing of your righteousness. The Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger, rich in love. The Lord is good to all. He has compassion on all he has made. All you have made will praise you, O Lord. Your saints will extol you. They will tell of the glory of your kingdom and speak of your might, so that all men may know of your mighty acts and the glorious splendor of your kingdom. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures through all generations. The Lord is faithful to all his promises and loving towards all he has made. The Lord upholds all those who fall and lifts up all who are bowed down. The eyes of all look to you and give them, and you give them their food at the proper time. You open your hand and satisfy the desires of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in all his ways and loving toward all he has made. The Lord is near to all who call on him, to all who call on him in truth. He fulfills the desires of those who fear him. He hears their cry and saves them. The Lord watches over all who love him, but all the wicked he will destroy. My mouth will speak in praise of the Lord. Let every creature praise his holy name forever and ever. The Lord is faithful. I look over 23 years, and in 23 years, just like you, whether you are married or not married, you and I together in this room have time that we can look over. And I look over this 23 years of marriage, I recall ups and downs. I can recall things that made me very happy and things that have made me very sad. I recall disappointments. I recall unexpected blessings. I recall failures. I recall and remember successes. I remember the grief of sin and recall the gratitude of forgiveness. I recall all kinds of situations, circumstances. I remember the second house we rented. It was a house that was kind of up on blocks. I guess it had a crawl space. Winters, I remember ice covering the inside of the windows. I remember what eventually became the nursery for our firstborn, Brittany. They had green carpet in there. It's normally what you saw outside. I guess they call it indoor, outdoor. I only saw it outdoor until that house. And knew it as indoor. You know, the green plastic short little loop stuff. And it, you know, the stuff you practice putting on. Which this house you could not practice putting on because the center of the house, there was a peak on the floor. You know what I mean? So, you know, don't drop anything that's round. You'll be chasing it. And yet I remember every house my wife could make a home. Every house. It's a gift that she has. I watched her make houses into homes that they were not elaborate homes. And the furniture wasn't new. Some of it was, I don't know how many times it was handed down through people. I don't know. Some of it was given to me when I was single. And, you know, I watched her take used stuff and old stuff and make it nice. I think they call it shaggy chic. Oh, shabby chic, whatever, shabby chic. I was called shaggy chic, whatever. I remember, you know, coming home to a home. And it had ups and downs and difficulties and challenges. You know, it causes me to remember. I've paused and I've looked at some photos of when my kids were small. You know, when they're just little. I look at those things and I remember times where I'd wonder, how are we going to make it? How are we going to make it? I mean, we had 4 babies in 4.5 years. Been in the ministry since I left university. You know, it's not like we started out making big salaries. You know, modest salaries, and you know, every $10 mattered. You know, I remember those times. I remember we resigned at one church to go to another church, and they wanted us to come, and they didn't want us to start, though, from our resignation point. They didn't want us to start for another month. You know, and 1 month doesn't seem long unless you don't have a month's salary saved. And that month of being a little anxious to work, and not just because of the money, but to get going. I mean, I know what it is to move to a place and not know anybody and spend my time becoming a professional lawn dart player, Pat. I mean, what my wife thought, I don't know. I mean, she'd look out the window and I'm out there by myself just, you know, throwing lawn darts. I know, it's just, it's crazy. I remember times like that. I remember, you know, us being pregnant and having our firstborn. And I remember, you know, 13 months later after her birth, our second child came. And saying, you know, we're grateful for the house and the indoor-outdoor carpeting. But we got to do something different. I mean, this thing's cold in the winter. And when you live in northern Ontario, it's cold. Wondering how we're going to make it. Where's the provision going to come from? Where's the money going to come from? And you want to provide, and you want to care for your wife, and you want to care for your daughters, and, you know, and I remember eventually we moved to another place where our third daughter was born. But when we moved there, we rented a basement apartment in somebody's house that was a half an hour away out in the country. And now we had, you know, we had 2 babies. And she's home and she did not drive. And I'm off working. And, you know, just all of these things, all the things that you have done, all the things that you have faced. And not that these are horror stories, but it causes you to look back. And at the time, such great anxiety strikes you. And yet, 23 years later, I get to tell the story. I guess we made it through that. Right? We made it through that. I want you to hear that this morning. That God is faithful. And there were times in those years where, you know what? I wasn't as faithful as I could be. I failed God or disappointed or, you know what? And He was still faithful. I want you to hear that this morning. That He is faithful. He does not deny who He is. You and I may deny who we're supposed to be and not always live like we're supposed to. But God never lives any different than who He is and the way He's supposed to. I want you to recall this morning God's great faithfulness. Maybe you're at a place where you're thinking, I don't know where groceries are going to come from, or, you know, yeah, I know about that indoor-outdoor carpeting. I know about the ice on the inside the windows. Hey, listen, I remember a move that we made. And we had three little babies, three little girls. Brock wasn't born yet. And we were making this move. And halfway about, well, no, it was a little less than halfway. We're driving through Detroit, moving to Minneapolis. In the car, the tires won't turn. The motor fell right down on the... And what does it fall on, Mike? The frame? It was right at an intersection. So I just, I don't know what's wrong. And went up into it. I mean, the car stayed there. We don't have money for a car. We're in the middle of a move. I'm starting a new job. I've got three babies and my wife. And in moments like that, you just go... You know, I'm really trying to follow you here, right? What do you do? And yet, however many years later, we can tell the story. Somehow God intervened and God helped and God provided, and you know, and it wasn't just easy sitting there on my duff saying, okay. I mean, you work and you plan and you pray and you put faith and works together, but God is faithful. You read Psalms like 145. You say, you know, He's faithful to all His promises. He's been loving towards all He made. It's not every moment's been easy. I remember another place. You know, it was just shortly after we moved. In fact, it was within the first couple of weeks, because I remember when we took this position at this church, I was thrown right into a major outreach in a major city. And supposed to be part of the leadership team of all these students coming together from all over the state to be a part of this and to lead these students, a segment in this church that I didn't even know these students yet when I was youth pastor. We were just getting introduced to each other, and all of a sudden I can't take part in it because I've got such severe pain. And go to the doctor and they find a mass in your body. And you're thinking, oh boy, you know. You know where your mind goes right away, right? And then they send you to a specialist. And they do an ultrasound and scan all that stuff. And they say, there's a mass there. Then you pray and hope and try not to act worried in front of your family, right? And you go to the specialist and you show up with the third set of ultrasound and reports. And you go to the specialist of the specialist. You know what I mean? I thought this was the specialist. Well, there's another specialist, you know, specialist of the specialist. And you go in and he goes, looks at the first report and there's a mass here.
Second one, there's a mass here, and we get, you know, we've done all these things. Okay, and the third one, the mass isn't there. You go through things like that. Hey, right here in Sparta, you know, they find a mass in Sue's body. Well, they do biopsy and all this kind of stuff and removal and all of that. But there is no cancer. You have to thank the Lord. And in moments like that, you start to remember these things of God's faithfulness and challenges and difficulties. And, you know, the being torn between, I wish you were back in diapers, or you just move out. Tongue in cheek. And you go through the teenage years, and actually our house has been, I'll tell you, I'm very grateful. We are not done. I'm very grateful. Yeah, there's been some heartaches and disappointments and challenges along the way and things that, you know, happen in your home and all of these kind of things. Days where you want to pull out your hair, and other days where you can't control the laughter. And you think, God, how am I supposed to lead this family or parent my kids? And I'm not perfect. And I don't know how to answer their question. I don't know how to do the dilemma. I didn't go to parenting classes through all of university that I could walk out and have a doctorate in parenting. My hunch is it wouldn't have mattered. And learning how to parent may be different than your own parents did. Not that it was bad or wrong, but my kids are not me, and I am not my mom and dad, and Sue's not her mom and dad. And Lord, how do we do this? Sue, I mean, I would travel and preach, and she was home with four children, and not one of them was in school yet. I look back at that and I think, what was I thinking? Not about having four children that close. I mean, we all know that when that happens, nobody's thinking. I mean, we all know that. It's true. But traveling, I mean, and come home from the road, and it sounds romantic to those who don't travel until you travel. And you got to be at the top of your game because you're in front of a crowd of people. You're in front of new people all the time, and you got to be at the top of your game, and you got, you know, And so you come home tired, and I come home and she's been in the house with four children because she didn't drive yet. So when I came home, I was her wheels. I came home, I did not want to be driving. I just wanted to be home and let babies crawl all over me, you know, and hug my wife and eat something at home. She was ready to go out. You know, I mean, grocery shopping was her outing. Some here are saying, boy, I'm sure glad I didn't marry that guy. I look back and I think, you know, how are we make it? How are we going to make it? Pregnant the fourth time and three little girls, you know. And happy and excited, but thinking, okay. We already, you know, have spent all we have on diapers. We had three in diapers at one time. Listen,
I'm so grateful for diapers, but man, I hated it. We spent more on diapers, I think, than food. I don't know. I don't know. We tried other stuff too. We tried, you know, the cloth where they deliver it to your house and you do whatever you do with it and then put it in something and leave it out and they drop off new ones thinking maybe this is cheaper. I don't think it was cheaper. It was just more work. And you think, oh, God, you know? You know, I don't know what your past involves. I don't even know what's going on maybe in your present. But I'll tell you that God's faithful. And you can go through the fire and you can, you know, go through things that you seem like you're a victim. It's just a circumstance of life, okay? And then there's other things we go through that, you know what, frankly, it's our fault. We got ourselves into it. Okay, we did. Let's just be honest. Okay, let's not be self-righteous and pious. We did some things wrong. Sue and I have done some things wrong. You know, there are times that made money decisions that were wrong. Completely wrong. But you know, God being gracious and merciful and teaching us some lessons and, you know, just... I mean, there were some marriage things that we did wrong. Okay? You know, I could have listened a little better. I could have been probably a little more patient on two occasions. Just last week. While I was gone. You know, I mean, there's just different things, you know? I mean... She never slammed down a plate again after the first one because she broke the plate and cut her finger. I don't even remember what that was over. Because frankly, we're not real yellers at each other. You know, we raise our voices from time to time. But mostly that's, you know, at our kids. Because they're hard of hearing. No. Dude, I'm so glad you were a boy. Because there's someone who can understand my inability of living with four women. There's nothing wrong with any four of them. It's just they're different than me. Although sometimes I could use your support a little more. He just goes, yeah, whatever, and he goes to his room. You look at life and you think, you know, how are we going to make it? How am I going to do this? This one's going to do me in. Or some of you who are a little bit older in this room and you thought what you may experience now, you thought would never have to be a concern or worry again, and all of a sudden, right out of the blue, something comes that you just never thought would. Or that you were past all that. And something comes that you didn't anticipate. I want you to know something. As quickly as that trouble came, just as quickly God can bring the answer. Does he always bring it that quick? Hey, let's face it. When you're in need, it's never fast enough, right? Right? I mean, it's like being in a hurry and you don't want to speed. You know, you got to get somewhere, you're in a hurry, and you just can't get there fast enough, and then you are following, no offense to any of you here, but you're following Grandma. and you're in a no passing, and there is room to pass. Oh. Listen, God's answer sometimes never seems fast enough. But he's faithful. I look at my life, and certainly the last 23 years, and God's faithful. He's faithful. He has loved us. He has been gracious to us. And understand, it's not because we're in the ministry. We're just people. Just like you. Who have said wrongful things. Who've rolled their eyes. Who didn't listen. Who interrupt. Who've made poor decisions. Have been the victim of life and stuff that goes on. God's faithful. And we've had a lot of times where you wonder, where is this going to come from? Or are we going to make it? Or are the kids going to marry? God's faithful. I don't know what you face today, but he's faithful. You know what else looking over this past does? Not just God's faithfulness, it reminds you of what's really important. There were so many things I thought were so important that now I look and I think, what was I concerned or worried about? That is not that important. At the time, it seemed so important, but it's just not important. I remember coming up to 30 years old. I'll just tell you, I had a rough time when I was turning 30, okay? Because I had these thoughts and expectations of, by the time I'm 30, I should really, you know, have bought in our first house. I mean, not that I would have owned it, but, you know, you pay the bank. You know, these 30 years old, I mean, 30 is a big number. I mean, I'm still feeling like at that point, you know, I was, you know, some college stud, at least in my own mind. A few kids and got a family and you want to provide and you want to do what's right and you just, think I should really be in a house by now. I should have a retirement. And I started looking at all this stuff. And I'll tell you, I was not happy. I'm not generally a depressed guy, but I struggled there for a little while. I was looking at all this stuff that I thought where I was supposed to be, not in comparison to the Joneses, just where I thought I was supposed to be. Well, got past all that. Have bought and sold a couple homes. I rent right now. I'm smiling. Genuinely. You know, some things we think so important. Where we live or what we look like or what we have or what we, and you know what? It's not that none of them have any importance at all, but you know what? They're just not that important. God's important. What he thinks is important. My family's important. My wife and my kids are important. You're important to me. What I do is important to me. Those things all have a value that some of these other things just don't have. And when you read Psalm 145 and you find out that he is just faithful and he is good and we struggle, but he's faithful, and you know what? All this stuff is temporary. And he's eternal. And we are made in his image, a spirit that's eternal. Who gives a rip if I owned a house at 30 or not? Why did I get so worried and uptight about that at 30 years old? My goodness, I'm looking at 50. Just about. Looking at 50. I mean, it has taken me 47 years just to learn how to wear a shirt untucked. I mean, some of these things that get us so worried and bent out of shape, and they're just not that important. God is faithful. Remember the things that are important to Him. I want to read you something. Don't turn there. You're going to know where this is at probably once I start reading, but I just want you to listen. I'll tell you where it's found afterwards. Because I don't know what your past or what your present involves. Listen, there are things in my past that if it wasn't for the forgiveness of God and the blood of Jesus, I would carry so much shame. But those who are in Christ don't have condemnation anymore. Listen, whatever you have in your past, whether it is a long time ago, whether it was before you knew Jesus, whether it was things that you did even after you were saved or had faith in Christ, if you are in Christ, there is no condemnation for those. That's what Paul writes. Listen, I remember, because some of you in this room, you think, oh yeah, your troubles were, you know, where's stuff going to come from? And you had some babies, and yeah, you traveled full time. Well, that's no big deal, and blah, 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 blah. Let's not have time to tell other stuff. But, you know, I'll tell you this. I remember knowing Christ and walking away from Him for a short time. This is before I was married and before I went off to university. And I remember God loving me and caring about me enough that He spoke to me as I was in an establishment sitting on a bar stool where I didn't belong. I remember that. I remember that because I heard a preacher say when I was in his home, because I was friends with his kids, and we had a common friend who walked away from God and was in those places. And he said, I hope he doesn't ever expect God to speak to him there because God won't follow him in there. And I remember that. And I remember in my heart of hearts, David, that I disagreed with that pastor because I know that God spoke to me when I was there. Not that He will, but He did. And I don't know what your past has or what holds you back there or what life you've spent. I want to tell you something. God's faithful. And your mind might remember, but I'm going to tell you something. It's not that you have to ignore it. You forget it. You don't keep looking back there. You look ahead where He wants to take you. And God knows how to be faithful when we're not. And whatever has had you bound or misled, I want you to know something. He's faithful. He's faithful. You may wonder, how am I going to make it? How can I break this habit? How am I going to get out of this situation? How am I da-da-da-da-da? Listen, oh man, I'm telling you, I've had those thoughts. God's faithful. And if you will just follow Him, and if you will seek Him, He will bring you through, and time will pass, and you will say, my, that was so many years ago. And you'll be able to recall and tell the story. And if you don't tell the story, you'll be able to remember these things. You're going to hit some anniversary. You're going to hit some marker in life somewhere, and you're going to go, you know what? I thought I wasn't going to make it back then, 20 years ago, and here I am. We've come through some stuff, and we're in some new stuff. God's faithful. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or don't worry about your body. Don't worry about what you will wear. Is not life more important than food and the body? Isn't it more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than those birds? Who of you by worrying can add a single hour to his life? I look back at the things that concern me, or the things that, you know, you were preoccupied with, or the goals that you thought you had, or, and you know what? In light of things in God's perspective, I didn't need to worry. I needed to exercise faith, and I needed to work. Because faith and works go together. If we just have faith and no works, then our religion is dead and worthless. Right? And if we just work and don't have faith in God, that's just as dead. But when faith and works go together, and godly contentment and the lack of worry and anxiety, you know what? Those things make a godly life. Why do you worry about clothes? See how the lilies of the field grow? They do not labor or spin, yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? So do not worry saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? The pagans, those who don't believe in God, they run around after all these things, and they worry about all these things, and concern themselves about all these things. And your heavenly Father knows what you need already. But rather, seek first his kingdom, and seek his righteousness, and all these other things, they'll be added to you as well. Therefore, don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough concern or trouble of its own. Doesn't mean we shouldn't plan for tomorrow. Planning is different than worry. Worry hasn't added anything to my life. Anxiety and worry hasn't added a thing. Worry and anxiety didn't save my marriage. Worry and anxiety didn't make me a better parent. Worry and anxiety hasn't caused me to lose any weight. Worry and anxiety, those kinds of things, they hurt us. They get in the way. And I'll tell you, some of the things in my life were a result of not seeking his kingdom first. You hear this. If you don't hear anything else this morning, I want you to hear this. The result of some of my perspective in my mind was because I did not seek God's kingdom first, and I got wrapped up in other stuff. Some of it sounded noble. Some of it sounded right, or I could put up a nice just argument in my mind. But you know what the reality is? I got tangled up, tripped up, preoccupied, worried, or anxious, and all these different things because I didn't seek his kingdom first. If I seek his kingdom first, then all these other things will be added to my life as well. He knows how to take care of me. He knows how to take care of you. He knows how to take care of you even when you make poor decisions. Hear that? He knows how to take care of you and reach you when you walk against His will. He has that kind of grace, that kind of mercy. But at some point, we've got to tune in and we have to seek His kingdom first. Seek His kingdom first. What am I supposed to desire? Where is this thing that's so important to me? Where does it really fall on God's perspective of priorities? Ooh. Right? Right? Yeah. All of it's important. And I know that you want to be perfect. And I know that you're almost there. Hey, there are some things that have consumed some of us and that we worried about. Or you're in a situation and you think, how in the world is this going to turn out? I might as well just throw in the towel. Listen, God is faithful. He's faithful to deliver if we put our faith in Him. If we seek Him first, He will add a strength to us to break some kind of habit. If we have a natural tendency to always redo the same thing and repeat the same, I want you to know that when His Spirit comes into us, we are born again. And His Spirit, as we follow and seek Him, will give us a power that is beyond our natural tendency. And we can live differently. Some of us in this room, we need a vision change. How we see ourselves. How we look at what's important, how we interpret things in life, we're looking at it wrong. We have a relationship with Jesus and we're saved, but we're trying to do things now from our perspective. And maybe it's something that your parents drove into your mind. God bless them. Maybe it's something that your spouse has driven into your mind. Maybe it's some experience that you had somewhere and it's twisted your view and you think it's clear and it's right. I want you to know the only right vision and right view that we can have is looking at things through the perspective of Jesus Christ and through His Word. He is faithful. I don't know what hardship you face today, but He's faithful. Endure hardship like a good soldier. That's what the Scripture says. Endure hardship like a good soldier. I do not want our soldiers to grow weary, lose heart, and walk off the job. So I want them to endure hardship. But the same call is to me. I have to endure hardship like a good soldier. God's faithful. Some of you in this room, you say, oh my goodness, you know, I've had one marriage fail and blah, 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 or a second marriage. And I was, you know, this happened to me when I was young. And this, listen, those things are real. They've affected you. But hear this. Those things are not more powerful than God's faithfulness. God knows how to take broken, beat up, used, misused people, make them whole. Heal them. Use them for His good pleasure and to pour out blessing upon their life because He's faithful. Your relationships can be more fulfilling if you stop letting, if you will stop letting past relationships, I don't care who they were with, someone else, family, parent, doesn't matter. If we will just let go of living life under those things, how we adapted to survive at that point, if we will just let those things wash away and begin to identify ourselves with who Christ wants us to be and what He wants us to be like, He will show His faithfulness and you will be more fulfilled. And guess what? The people around you will be more fulfilled. When we are preoccupied with worry, anxiety about other things, how are we going to make? And we're, you know what? That's where our mind is at. It is not on our relationships with God, our relationship with people. Something will look like it did before, and right away you'll say, well, this is how I made it through before, so I'm going to be that same old person. Listen, that is not the way to walk through it. Let God be faithful. Let us be faithful to Him, to change, to become like Him.
Thanks for joining us on the LifeCast. It is a ministry of New Life Assembly of God in Sparta, Wisconsin. If you are ever in the area, we would enjoy the opportunity of meeting you. Until then, remember, God is for you, not against you.